We are still in our marriage series. We got this week and then possibly next week to close this thing out. And it's been a powerful, powerful series. All the messages are online. If you have missed, please catch up. This is truly, there's a lot of different things in this marriage series, in this relationship series than we have had before. And today, I need you to clue in, man. I need you to plug into this because today is Together We Stand. And we understand, we've got to realize what it is in this covenant, in this relationship, in this marriage, that we stand together, ups and downs, through the good, through the bad, sickness, health, life, death, boom, we're together, but we want it to be together with a home that's full of love, joy, and peace. And today we're going to cover some things that, man, you need to get this, man. I'm asking that you clear your mind and you clear your heart of any distractions or anything that's going on in your lives, and you come to a place and say, God, I'm in. It's worth it to be into this, in this moment right here, that we walk out saying, God, you literally just spoke to my heart in this. I mean, I believe that by the end of this service, there will be changed homes. That's what I believe. I believe the word of God is alive and powerful. And when I've said it from the very beginning, if you do marriage God's way, there's 100% chance, 100% chance that you have a home that's full of love, joy, and peace. The only reason, gang, please hear this, the only reason that our homes are not full of love, joy, and peace is our fault. It's our fault. And when you understand, man, we can flip this thing, we can rearrange this thing, a very good marriage can even get better, and we can come to a place to walk in a home that is full and satisfied, walk in a home that's full of love and joy and peace, walk in a home that you've got a husband and wife that just are so together, and no matter what's taking place in their lives, they understand together we stand. And man, when you understand this morning, I want you to turn to just a few places this morning. I usually go two. Today is going to be three. It's going to be that good. Come on, three places this morning. 1 Peter 3:8, where we'll start. Colossians 3, then Matthew 6. 1 Peter 3. Please, if you can turn there. With the gentleman, we went to 1 Peter 3:7. This is kind of a continuation, but this is now involving husbands and wives. If you start back in 1 Peter 2, it talks about slaves or servants, and then it goes first verse in 3:1 talks about wives, and then verse 7 talks about husbands, and then verse 8 says this. To sum up, all of you, I want you to get this, because this is, I've said this so many times here, right from here. If there's one verse that I want my marriage to be patterned after, it's this verse. This is how important this is. This is how huge this is. Because there's so many different verses in Scripture about marriage and relationship and husband and wife. So many different ones. But if I'm saying, okay, if I want my home to look like one verse, this is the verse. Because this is referencing husbands and wives, and it says this. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. Let me ask you, like, all of you, to understand what it is to walk in harmony. Like, look at this list. To be harmonious, to walk in harmony. To be sympathetic, to be brotherly, to be kind-hearted, to be humble in spirit. Like, this right here, this simple verse, to husbands and wives, to your relationship, to your marriage. This is what God says. If you walk in this sense, man, there is a 100% chance of living in a home that is full of love, joy, and peace. Yes, there's going to be ruffles. Yes, there's going to be ups and downs. Yes, there's going to be difficult roads that we travel, but we do it together. And even through those difficult roads, we're going to do it in harmony. Like this word right here, you can write this down if you're taking notes. Awesome. Harmonious. It's something that means to walk in harmony. I mean, like, you understand symphony and you understand what it is to be harmonizing. You see the voices harmonizing with Brendan. When someone's off tune or an instrument hasn't been tuned and they're out of harmony, you catch it. It's like, oh, what? Hey, fix that. Woo-hoo. You know, and you understand that this word here in marriage between a husband and wife, harmony, it's together. We come to a place to understand one another and we walk together. That's what harmony really means. Step by step, walking in harmony, to agree in heart and mind. Listen, well, Sean, does that mean we always are going to, because I know in my house we'd still disagree. Well, of course we do. We got two people coming together. My Nana used to say, listen, if both of you are the same, one of you is not necessary. I mean, that's true. If both of you are the exact same, one is not necessary. And you come to a place, say, what is it then to walk in harmony? What is it then to agree in heart and mind? And when you come to a place to realize, even in disagreeing, there comes to a point where someone says, listen, I may not see it your way, but I'm willing to put myself under, I'm willing, husband or wife, to submit to what you're saying, and I will now come into a place to agree with you. That's harmony, folks. That's harmony. And the next word is sympathetic. To have a sympathy for your husband or for your wife. And this simply means to feel what the other feels. When they're up, you feel, you're up. When they're down, you're down with them. You weep with those who weep. You rejoice with those who you rejoice. And look at this, even in marriage between a husband and wife, when you understand, in your home, we're walking in harmony. In your home, we're walking in agreement. In our home, man, when one's down, it's not like, oh, we both get down, but we understand the feelings of the other so that we can be there to lift them up. That's what this verse is talking about. When it talks about all of you be harmonious, that means to agree together, heart and mind, to be sympathetic, to really feel what the other feels. Listen, gentlemen, we didn't mention this Tuesday, but if you want to score great points with your wife, show some feelings. I know that could be tough for some, but show some feelings that you feel what your wife feels. When she's up, man, that's awesome. When she's down, man, you are there to lift her up. You see it. You understand her. And man, wives, show some feeling towards your husband. If he's coming home and he's up, awesome. If he's down, then you, come on, speak into something in his life to rebuild your man. Why? Because you sympathize with him. When you're up, you're up. When you're down, and we work together. Now, this is what this is talking about. This is a home. Look at this, brotherly. See, I love this word brotherly because it's talking about a depth of friendship. Each of these, could you imagine if your home looked like this? I mean, do you imagine what it is to really be married to your best friend? I have some strong, incredible men who are my friends, and that's important to me. But to be honest, man, I'm good. I have my wife who is the deepest of my friendship, and we go very deep in our friendship. And this is what this looks like, to understand there is such a depth to my friendship with my wife and my wife to me, that yeah, the men in my life are fantastic and I have some strong friendships, but there's nothing that compares to the deepness of the friendship that I have with Renee, because it's not like I'm out looking for more friends. I'm not, because I'm so content and so satisfied and so full with our friendship between a husband and a wife. And I hope that you can understand that. And what it's talking about here, there is a depth to friendship, to that relationship. Like, what is your relationship look like? People say, well, I really don't want to marry her because she's my best friend. And it's kind of like, really, you should marry her, like, if she's your best friend. Because in a relationship, a longevity of relationship, you come to a place to realize, yes, I want to. Listen, this is where I feel. I feel it's difficult at times because people are married, but they're not friends. They just go through the motions of marriage, but they don't understand what it is to have that depth of friendship, that depth of communication, really sharing the feelings of one another, communicating and talking. This is what I'm feeling, man. This is where I'm hurt. This is where I'm feeling excited. This is, and you come to a place in the depth of that friendship. It's very unfortunate when you can talk more as a friend to someone other than your spouse. And I think that really comes to a line where we have to understand in this verse, speaking to husbands and wives, that there should be a very deep friendship relationship to the one that you're married to. And not just a marriage, but a deep friendship that we communicate, we share everything, we talk about everything. This is the level of our friendship. Listen, I don't want to share anything with other people that I wouldn't be willing to communicate with my wife first. I wouldn't want my wife to have a female friend that she is more comfortable talking to her than she is talking to me, because she's not one with them, she's one with me. And in that level of depth of friendship, man, there is unity. There is a sense of unity when we're walking in harmony, when we're really sympathizing with one another, and we understand that brotherly depth of friendship. And the next one is to be, look what it says, to be tender, to be kind-hearted. That means just a gentleness and to be tender. And the last one is being humble in spirit. And you know, when you look at this list, when it really talks about being humble in spirit, that means me second. I heard a great definition of being humble. And unfortunately, and I think in the church, we've kind of screwed it up. And we really come to a place to think, well, if I'm thinking less of myself, then that's humble. Like, oh, woe is me. I'm really not that good. And I'm just a terrible person. I'm just really not good looking. And you lower yourself. And we think that that's walking in humility. That's not what that means. When you understand, God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God says you're the apple of his eye. God says I handcrafted you and I put you together. No, what the best definition of humility is thinking of yourself less. Not thinking less of yourself, like, woe is me, I'm so low. But thinking of yourself less, where you think of your husband or your wife more than you do yourself. You see, the common denominator for all of these right here, look at this. You've got harmonious, sympathetic, just this depth of friendship, this relationship, being tender and kind towards one another, and putting self second. The common denominator of all of these is to understand, please hear this now, this is the number one ingredient to all marriage, is to be selfless. To be selfless. You need to be selfless to walk in harmony. You need to be selfless to really understand and share the feelings of the other. You need to be selfless to walk. No one wants a selfish friend. No one wants a friend that's all about them. To really be kind-hearted in that tender kindness, you need to be selfless. And to really understand what it is to be humble in spirit, you need to think of yourself less and put the other first. That is, please hear this, man, that's the number one ingredient to longevity in marriage, is selfless. Because please hear this, the opposite is true. The number one reason for divorce is not sex, it's not finances like they put out there. Oh, the number one reason of divorce is finances. Number two reason is sex. Number three reason is communication, which I think communication is probably the top because it affects everything else. But the number one reason for divorce is somebody got selfish. And for those who are in this place this morning who've walked through that heartbreaking disaster of divorce, you can testify that somebody made it about them. And they forgot that this thing is about us. That together we stand. We do life together. We walk in harmony. We share the feelings of the other. We understand that depth of friendship. Friendship, you can't have. No one wants to be friends with a selfish person because it's always just about them. You can't walk in a sense of kindness. Kindness is a sense of giving. You can't always give when you're always thinking for yourself. And man, this is when you understand these ingredients, you look to this, and the whole common denominator to this is the ability to be selfless and not selfish. Let me just ask you, man, where are you in this? Like seriously, in your home, if you really want your home to be a sense of love, joy, and peace, to really function from a place of unity, function from a place of together we stand, function from a place of it's always going to be about us. Life is about us. We are going to do life together. It's about us. What you feel, I feel. Where you're at, I'm at. When you're up, I'm up. When you're down, I'm down. But my goal is to bring you back up. Like, where is the depth of your friendship in this? Because if it's not here, that means something got in the way. That means something somewhere along the way got in there and started causing a division. Started causing something to divide us. So you got to understand something. The enemy, when you understand we face a very real enemy who hates, he hates marriage. Because we've talked about this, it's the picture of Christ in the church, and he hates husbands and wives. He hates the unity of marriage. He hates a marriage that's functioning from a place of unity, functioning from a place of a selflessness. He hates that. That's the picture of Christ in the church, and he will do everything in his power to try to divide that. So, if we're honestly going to come to a place that our marriage can come back to a place of love, joy, and peace, then you have to identify where did the enemy get in, man? Where is his evil little foot in our marriage? What happened to the divide? What took place in our home that we were once filled with love and joy and peace? We once laughed a lot. We once had the sense, we talked about it 2 weeks ago about that sustainable joy. We had that. Well, what happened to that? That you would come back and identify these elements right here. Well, are we in harmony? Do we agree in mind and heart? Or are we at a point in our marriage where as soon as someone disagrees, the door shuts and the communication just stops? Have we come to a point to stop sympathizing when someone hurts? Or we've really lost that communication of our best friend and our husband or our wife? And I think this one's easy. I think it's easy to stop just being kind. I think the one that you're with the most is the one that you take advantage of the most. I believe that. I think the one that you're with the most is the one that's most susceptible for one to take advantage of. That we just need to have a sense of what it is. This is just simple stuff. To be kind. To be considerate. To be tender-hearted. To be gentle. I mean, why wouldn't we want this to the one that we're married to? Husbands and wives. Where wives are over the top just kind to their husbands. Husbands are over the top just kind to their wives. And we understand what it is to put ourselves second in every direction, in every area of marriage. We know what it is to put ourselves second to our spouse, to our husband, to our wife. And then you come to a point to understand what it is to walk in this unity. Come on, turn to Colossians, please. I'm going to show you this again. Colossians 3, verse 12 says this again. So as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on, highlight that in your Bibles, please. Circle that, highlight that, underline that. Do what you need to do. Put on a heart of compassion. This is talking to the church. This is talking to the believer. And this is where I'm going with this. I mean, when we understand you've got a husband and wife that both have professed Christ, you've got a husband and wife who understand the community of church, understand what it is to be born again, to recognize Christ in our lives, that when you understand that, when you've truly come to a place to repent, believe, and surrender, concede to Him, everything changes. There's a point where you say, it's no longer about me, but it's about Christ, and I need to walk in obedience to this. And this is a part of the change that takes place. This is what He says, put on a heart of compassion. Let me just put on, when you put on a coat, you cover yourself. This is it. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, there it is again. Humility, gentleness, there it is again. And patience. I mean, this is not a marriage scripture, but this is a Christian scripture. This is to us as believers, how much more so in a home that's full where God says two become one. Where God has said, listen, husband, you are second to your wife. Wife, you are second to your husband. You walk in a sense of unity. You walk in a sense of harmony. You walk in a sense of relationship. Well, this is to us a heart of compassion. That your heart, it's your heart is who you really are. Do you have that heart? Is that your sense of compassion for your spouse? Kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Verse 13, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you. Look at this now. So also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. There it is again. Put on. Put on a heart of compassion. Put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. When you understand a sense of unity in your home, you understand what it is to say, together we stand. And I think one of the biggest ingredients is this, is let me ask you a serious question. Have you ever just held a grudge? Have your husband or wife, and even for those who aren't married, have you just ever just held a grudge? Like when you see this specific person, it's just something just roused up with inside of you. And you're just like, you're in the grocery store and you kind of take a right and you're just trying to avoid at all costs eye contact because of something that happened last week, last month, 10 years ago, 15 years, whatever it is that you've just, there is some deep down pit that you've just held on to this grudge because somebody offended you somewhere. And it's just like every time you see him, you're like, you're right? I mean, maybe that's just me, but there's times that I have to deal with it when I see somebody, should I face them? Should I not face them? I'm going to the milk and they're in front of the milk aisle. I guess I need cereal today instead of milk. So it's just, you know, whatever it is. But you come to place. What about husband and wife? Because let me share something with you this morning. Is if you are going to walk in a marriage with someone that you spend your life with. Someone that you have committed your days, your hours, committed your body, your finances, committed. I am in. I am committed to you. I made a promise at the altar and I meant it. Then I promise you this. This is what you know and I know. There is moments that you are going to have to forgive. There are moments in your relationship that you are going to have to forgive. This is one of the top ingredients to longevity of marriage. Because a grudge can get in there and it can divide. And a grudge can, and you can hold on, and you can hold on, and you can hold on, and you can hold on until you really understand what it is to forgive. To really understand what it is to walk in a sense, to release, and to let go, and to forgive. Can I ask you this? Why is it at times so much more difficult to forgive your spouse than some random person that you may have known for a short time? Because sometimes, in a sense of that closeness and that tightness, when that one person hurts us, sometimes it runs deeper than anyone else hurting us. What do you do with that? Because listen, honestly, the truth is this. Anybody in this church could say something to me and I'd get over it really quick. But if Renee said something to me and it dug deep, it would hurt more than what anyone else in this church or anyone else that I would ever know could say something to me. And it may sting for a little bit, but if my wife says something to me, it digs deep and it hurts. If I say something to her, it digs deep and it hurts. Why? Because we're in union, man. We are together. So what do you go with that? Do you let that divide come? Do you let that division show up? Do you let the enemy get a foothold in there? When you really understand, the enemy loves grudges. The enemy loves us to not forgive. Because the Bible makes it very clear that you open the door to the enemy when you refuse to forgive. Just open the front door and just keep it open until he shows up. Because when you understand the power of forgiveness and what it is in a marriage, and guaranteed, if you have been married for any length of time, you are going to have to forgive. There are going to be mistakes. There are going to be hurts. There's going to be things that are said and done that need forgiveness. That you would walk in a sense to know what it is. I am not going to let the door open to the enemy who already has got a target on your marriage. There's already a bullseye on your marriage. And the enemy is going to want to come in. And if you leave the door wide open because we refuse to forgive, the enemy is just going to come in and he's going to bring division. And he's going to bring such chaos in your home because you left the front door open because you refuse to forgive. I want you to see this, please. Verse 13, bearing with one another. That word bearing, it literally means putting up with one another. And forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. One more place. Please turn over to Matthew 6. Because I want you to see this. This is the Lord's Prayer. Listen, the disciples came and they asked him, Lord, how do we pray? We notice that you go off into the hills and we notice that you have your quiet time with your Father and we're asking you. He comes back from a time of prayer and they ask him, teach us to pray. How do we pray? I want you, I'm sure you know this. This is what he says. Matthew 6, verse 9 says this. Pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. This is a daily prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Talking about provision. And verse 12, here it is. Here it is. Look at this. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus himself said, this is how you pray. And a part of your daily prayer includes forgiveness. A part of our daily time before the Lord includes forgiveness. Do I have a grudge against anyone, specifically my husband or my wife? Have I allowed any division into my, have I left the door wide open to the enemy? And Jesus is saying, listen, if you're going to pray, pray this way. I love this. It's right in the middle of the prayer. Our Father, go right to God who is in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I want to be a part of your kingdom. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, today, give us provision. Oh, and Father, forgive me. And help me to forgive others. Could you imagine? What if? What if you actually prayed that every day? What if I don't pray that every single day. I pray it often, but man, what if I actually prayed it every single day? God, help me to never hold a grudge. Help me to keep such short accounts, to understand what it is to forgive, to release, to let go. What about husbands and wives, man? I want you to understand this because it's a very serious, serious, serious issue to God. Because if you're just saying, listen, I'm going to leave the door wide open to the enemy and just let him come in and bring chaos. Because I refuse. Sean, if you only knew what he did, if you only knew who she was, if you only knew, how am I supposed to forgive her? How am I supposed to forgive him? You know what God says? Just like I forgave you. Just like I forgave you. If you want to really understand what it is to walk in a sense of union, to walk in that sense of being selfless, to walk in that place of walking in harmony, walking in a sympathetic way, walking in a sense of that deep, deep, deep relationship, that really, truly best friend relationship that goes way beyond just this true depth of relationship, to be tenderhearted and kind, and to walk in a sense of what it is to be humble in spirit. You have to lay yourself down for that. You have to understand what it is to be selfless. I want to show you this again. Matthew 6, it says, give us this day our daily bread, verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, for deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Look at verse 14. This is that's the prayer, but he goes right back into something. So he just says, pray like this, and then he recaps. And what is the one issue that he recaps? Is it his kingdom? Is it that God is holy? Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Is it about his kingdom? Is it even about protecting us from the enemy? Look what he says. But if you forgive others, verse 14, for your transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15 is shocking, folks. Because honestly, this morning, I really want you to get what a big deal this is. I want you to understand how huge this is to God. Verse 14, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others. There's a clause here, folks, in Scripture. God says you need to forgive. And if you don't, then your Father will not forgive you. Can I ask you a serious question? Do you think it's a big deal to God? If we really refuse to forgive, well, if you only knew what he did, if you only knew who she was, well, God says, listen, I know what you did, and I have forgiven you. It's such a big deal. God says, if you don't forgive, my hands are tied to forgive. People say, there's nothing that God can't do. But there's things that he won't do. So where is this in your marriage this morning? Because today is a day of repair. Today's the day of fix. Today's the day of today. We begin a process of what it is to walk in love, joy, and peace. Today's the day that we begin a journey of what it is to really walk in harmony, to really walk in unity, to understand the depth of the relationship that God has. Begin to understand there is a 100% chance of us walking in a relationship in God's idea of love, joy, and peace if we do this, if we understand what it is to truly forgive. to truly release. Maybe some are like Sean, but there's really been some serious foul play, man. There's the difference between forgive and trust, folks. But when you forgive, please hear this, please hear this. Don't miss this, because when you honestly, truly forgive, you need to open the door for trust to be rebuilt again. Because some people say, well, I've forgiven him, but I'm never going to trust him. Well, I forgive him. I forgive her, but I'm never going to trust her again. If you're truly forgiving, then you leave the door open to build and rebuild trust, because trust is one of the foundation blocks of marriage. And if you allow that to stay crumbled, you will never get to a place of true love, joy, and peace. I mean, I want to read this last verse. If you just bow your heads just for a minute, I want to read this to you. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers a multitude of sin. Do you expose your sin to one another, or do you cover it? And cover it isn't like a false way, like it's a sense of protection. You're not going to expose it to embarrass or to shame. That's what this means. Can I just say this about social media, please? Love covers a multitude of sin. Have you used social media to shame your wife or your husband? To try to expose their sin? That's not love. 1 Corinthians 13 says love keeps no record of wrong. And then what it is to really understand Ephesians 4, and this is talking about the believers. This is talking about the new you, in a sense of when Christ has come in, everything's changed in me. All things become new. Old person is dead. I have victory now because of Jesus. And this is the truth, man. This is what the Bible says. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander be put away from you. Define your marriage just for a moment. Husbands and wives, please take the hand of your spouse. And I want you to define, does this define your relationship? A sense of bitterness, which means something that's sour. Something that's very unpleasant. That's what bitterness is. Something that's very difficult or sharp. Wrath, that means like this is more of a heart of passion, like instantaneous rage. Lashing out, that's what this word wrath means. Anger is more of a punishment, vengeance, revenge type of anger. And clamor is just constant quarreling. Looking for a fight. That's what clamor is. Slander. Just speaking evil of somebody. Speaking words that are harsh. Backbiting. And it says all of these things are to be put away from you. Your marriage shouldn't be full of bitterness. It shouldn't be full of wrath. It shouldn't be full of anger. It shouldn't be full of quarreling and fighting. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be full of slander where you're always speaking bad about one another. Listen, God through Paul says, put it away. And malice. Malice just means just bad. It's just evil on purpose. I look to do bad to my spouse. How do you put it away? Verse 32 says this, be kind. Be tenderhearted. Here it is, here it is. Forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If you want to understand together we stand, you need to understand forgiveness. You need to let the grudge go. Folks, please hear this. You need to walk in a sense to forgive. Well, how can I? Just as Christ forgave you. Man, when I saw this, even this morning, I'm reading this, I'm praying over this, and Hebrews 9:22 came to my heart this morning, and I wrote it down. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. You know what comes before forgiveness? Sacrifice. Well, what if you need to, if it's really a deep issue, you need to sacrifice to forgive. You need to lay yourself down. You need to become selfless again. This will change your home. This will change your marriage. Folks, please don't miss this. This is a big deal to God. It's a big deal to relationship. It's a big deal for husbands and wives who are so close, who do life together. There are going to be moments of failure. There are going to be times that we miss. There are going to be times that a husband sins or a wife sins. That is going to happen. What you do with it makes a difference. Forgive. Just like God in Christ has forgiven you. There's a sacrifice that had to happen for our forgiveness. What are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to sacrifice? Your ego? You always trying to be right? Some of these things you just need to lay down. You don't always have to be right. Sometimes you just need to let your ego really go. What does that sacrifice look to you for forgiveness here this morning, right now? Right now. Have you left the door open for the enemy to come in and bring division, to bring disunity? You can't walk in harmony when there's unforgiveness. You can't have that depth of friendship when there's unforgiveness. When there is that deep root of that grudge that just keeps showing up, it's not really truly forgiven. Have you kept a record of wrong? Well, do you remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember when? Do you remember when? Have you honestly, truly come to a place just, aren't you? Listen, I'm so thankful that when I stand before the throne, because of the blood of Christ, the enemy might be there to say, Sean, do you remember? And Jesus say, no, no, no. Do you remember? No, no, no. Yeah, but he did this. Nope, forgiven. Yeah, but do you remember? Nope, forgiven. Yeah, but what about this? Covered. Just like. Come on, just like. God in Christ has forgiven me. What an incredible sacrifice for me. Who am I when I know that forgiveness? Who am I to hold a grudge against my wife? Who am I to hold something against my husband? When I know, when I understand that I have been forgiven, that I have been released. If you really know what it is to be forgiven by God, he says, just like, in the same way that I have forgiven you, forgive.